You are listening to Daily Devotions with Pastor Robert Marsbach. We believe that these devotions will encourage and strengthen you. So tune in, connect, and be blessed. For any more information, please visit us online at lifechurchuk.org.
Welcome to Life Devotions, and thank you for joining me today. Sin is lawlessness is the title of this devotion, which is a statement you'll find right here in 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. Now, it is important for us to appreciate this. You know, none of us would think it acceptable if we're at getting a green light and we're taking off and somebody in a rash rush runs a red light and our lives are spared by a hair as we pull back and they just miss us and it shakes us. But they just shunned the law. They broke the law by running a red light. And that could have caused a great accident that could have even affected the welfare of people's lives. So none of us would think that that's okay. It would all say, no, you got to honor the law because that's what prevents things from going wrong. God's laws have never been given for us to be robbed from the pleasures of this life, from the blessings of this life. God's laws are there to cause the blessings of life to be able to endure and to function properly. And this is why His laws are so wonderful and so excellent. But we discover that we all have a nature within us that sometimes goes right against the law. It buffets it. It tries to break it. It tries to overrule it. It tries to shun it. And that is that nature in us is the nature of sin that comes against the law. And we know that for this very purpose that we have this in us, this law of sin, that Christ Jesus came into the world. It says, surely He, Jesus, in Isaiah 53, verse 4, has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed Him stricken and smitten by God and afflicted. Here it comes. But He was wounded for our transgressions, and He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. For all we like sheep have gone astray. We all have turned everyone to his own way, but the Lord has laid the iniquity of us all on him. And here we have the word, he was wounded for our transgressions. The word transgression, dear friends, is rebellion. It means, transgression means rebellion. It means to revolt, to break out, to come against. And it says there in Isaiah 53 verse 12, listen now to what it says. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death and was numbered with the transgressors and bore the sin of many, listen now, and made intercession for the transgressor. He was wounded for our transgressions, made intercession for the transgressor. He pleaded with God, forgive them, Lord. For they know not what they do. They break out. They rebel. They come out against your law. And they try to destroy it. without realizing what they are doing is against themselves. In 1 Corinthians, the scripture warns us by saying, do you not know in verse 9 that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers. Listen now, do not be deceived, neither fornicators. Fornicators is the word pornography. Idolaters, people who worship other things besides the Lord. In other words, they give all their affections to them. Adulterers, those who break oneness with their spouse. Homosexuals, those who entertain the affections that they may feel for the same sex. Or sodomites, those who entertain, not just entertain it, but go into it. Thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners. They will not inherit the kingdom of God. Listen now, listen. But such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, and you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. You know, that spirit that rebels, that breaks out against the law of God, we all have it. It may not all be in the same area. We may not all have the same failings in our nature. One is tended more this way and one is tended more that way, but we all have it. We all have it. There's none righteous, no, not one. All of us have sinned, but for this purpose, Jesus Christ has come, my dear friends. It is worthy of all acceptance, it says here. It says, it is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. This is 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. He came into the world to save sinners. All of us have had this nature within us that is against the law. Sin is lawlessness. Sin is rebellion against the law of God. The law of God is good. It's spiritual. It's wonderful. It's amazing. I delight myself in it. Anybody with any normal common sense would say, yes, I agree, don't lie. I agree, don't steal. I agree, don't commit adultery. I agree, don't murder. I agree, don't dishonor your father and mother. I agree, don't bear false witness. I agree. Rest with God. Hold the Sabbath holy. Rest with God. These are just some of the Ten Commandments. And we would all say, I agree with it. Nobody thinks it's okay for people to just steal other people's possessions. Nobody feels it's right for people to betray their loved ones for the affections, satisfaction of their own affections. No, that is called selfishness, and it's cruel, it's mean, it's harsh. But that is the nature of sin. And the nature of sin will promise you pleasures forevermore. But the wages of sin always brings about death in the end. There is no reward in any soul that sins. And you may say to me today, you know, Pastor, I don't know what to do about it because I can feel that buffeting, that breaking out, that rebelling against the law of God. I can feel it in me and I don't know what to do because I know it's wrong. That my own heart has desires that I know are wrong. My own heart has passions, thoughts and feelings that I know are wrong. What do I do about it? You have to come to Jesus, because for this purpose he came, to save us from that nature that holds us in bondage. There is no freedom from that sin nature through self-effort. You cannot get rid of it through well-meaning. Yes, you can, to a certain degree, hold it under, but it will always be there and break out at an opportunity that maybe is most destructive. And we need to realize we need something much more powerful than our own will. and our own desires to hold down the nature of sin, we need Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who came to save us from sin. You and I and every human being needs a Savior. And Jesus is the Savior of the whole world. And He doesn't want any man to perish, but He wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth that there's but one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for us all. You find this in 1 Timothy chapter 2. And as you come to Christ and you begin to submit your life to His Lordship, then He begins to form in you through His own person, through His own spirit, His own nature coming into you, the new covenant. And that new covenant is described right here in Hebrews chapter 8, starting at verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their heart. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor, and none his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Oh, what a wonderful thing, through Jesus Christ, to come into the place where you feel no charge against you in the presence of the Lord, but you feel you have been made accepted in the Beloved according to the riches of the glory of His grace, in whom, Jesus Christ, we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of sins, and that every charge against your nature is removed, every sense of failure and guilt is cleansed away, every sense of pain and shame is washed in His precious blood, and He makes you holy and without blame in the Heavenly Father's love. And He writes His word in your heart so that you will want what He wants. And He writes His words in your mind so that you will know what He wants. You become mentally conscious of the will of your Heavenly Father. That is the living word in your mind. You have this yearning and longing inside of your heart to want to do the will of your Heavenly Father. That is the living word in your heart. That is one of the great graces and blessings you receive through the Lord Jesus, through your relationship with Him. And in closing, come with me to Matthew chapter 5, please. Matthew chapter 5. And here we see what it looks like to have the Word living in your heart and living in your mind. Jesus here describes seeing the nature, the very life-giving presence of the Word, of the law of God in your heart and in your mind. He shows you what that looks like right here in Matthew chapter 5, where He says in verse 21, You have heard that it was said for those of old, You shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of judgment. Right? One of the Ten Commandments is you shall not murder. He says, But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. The word raka means empty-headed, or you fool. And whoever says you fool shall be in danger of hellfire. Now, what Jesus is showing you here, when the Word, through your union with Jesus, comes alive in your heart, it's not just a mental knowledge you have, but it's spirit life. The Word is spirit and is life, Jesus said in John 6:63. And you have the life of the Word living in your heart, forming this nature in you. There is no murder in your heart. John, the beloved, says, he who has murder in his heart to his brother who hates him with a hate that you want him annihilated, you want him gone, cannot have the life of God, is not in the life of God, because that is not the life of God. See, Christ is the life of God. He is the living word in the heart and mind. And from within, you cannot hate, hold a grudge, and stay offended. And with your mind, you can't start entertaining despicable thoughts, of degrading thoughts, of humiliating thoughts, thoughts that just make a mock of people. You can't do it. You can't do it. Why? Because it's not the living word to be that way. It's not Christ. And the word is Christ. And it came and we saw its glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And that word that we see in Christ comes to live in our heart and in our mind. And we see the nature of it. One last example Jesus gives here in verse 27 of Matthew 5. He says, "Now you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery." That's not one of those laws of God. He said, "But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." And Jesus shows you what it's like to have the law of God in your heart. It begins to restrain your senses from running loose. It begins to restrain your affections from being unrestrained, to being unguarded and unguided. You see, our affections, my friends, like electricity, so to speak. Electricity is phenomenal as long as it's shielded for its destiny. But if you would grab a cable that has no shield on it, and that electricity could really harm you, depending on how powerful it is, it could really harm you. No, but you could touch the cable, but it's shielded. Why? Because it has a destiny. And the sexual affections belong between a married man and a married woman whom God has joined together. And I'm not just saying this to send some other message. No, it says, therefore, in Matthew 19, quoting from Genesis chapter 3, a husband shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one. They shall cleave together. They shall become one flesh, Jesus says. One flesh. And that talks about the physical relationship that is given by God within marriage. That's not a Christian idea. That is a gift in creation. And that is the order of God. And the sexual affection belongs in the marriage relationship. Any sex outside of marriage always is lawless and is sin. And I know that's hard to accept in a time of where people think that we could just live any which way, but no, friends. We love the Lord and we want to please Him. And the Holy Spirit is able to give you grace to give rest to your body so that you can keep your body in submission to the Holy Spirit, and He keeps it in the law of God, and you're able to live free from the driving forces that is destroying this world, where people just give their affections to anything or anyone, or live in a way that isn't honorable before God. And I plead with you today, let's love the Word of God, the law of God, and meditate therein day and night, so that, as David says in Psalm 1, we can be like a tree planted by the waters that bears its fruit in season, and its leaves do not wither, and whatever we do has the favor of God on it, has the life of God on it. And I tell you the truth, to live with a heart that is filled with the law and the life of the law of God, and a mind that is filled with the life and the law of God, and you're able to be kept in your affections, and you're not drawn upon by all the immorality that's in this world, all the anger and harshness that's in the world. Oh, friends, I love living in His rest. I love living in the conscious knowledge of His holiness. I love living in that place where there is no transgression in me. The intercession of Christ has completely subdued it and brought it under His authority and power. And the sin nature is no longer in control of my flesh, because I've been crucified with Christ. I've been buried in water baptism with Him. I am dead to sin through the death of Christ within. And I now live to God through the life of Christ within. And I'm no longer lawless, but I am filled with the love of my Heavenly Father. And I am not saying, oh, I am just totally perfect already, but that perfect one, Christ in me, is continuously perfecting me by conforming me to Himself and by renewing me into its likeness. And I am growing from one degree of His glory to another degree. And I'm so excited at all that God began in me and that He now is perfecting, and not just me only, but all of us who love Him and have received Him. To us it has been given to become children of God, and by His Spirit to be set free. Where the Spirit of the Lord, there's freedom from lawlessness, where we're no longer rebellious against the law of God, insisting upon satisfying our own affections and satisfying our own passions and justifying anger fits that cause destruction to relationship, and justifying it, oh, you offended me and therefore I'm so angry and I'm so cruel and I'm so mean, or oh, I don't get my due affection from my spouse and that's why I look at every other person. No. We are not lawless because we get everything we want. We're not lawless because the law, the one who is the law of God, is in and living in our heart and mind and keeping us from rebelling against God. And friends, it is peace and joy forevermore to live in Christ and Christ in you. Amen. Have a good day.